Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello to you. Happy Monday. Thanks so much for being with us here as we begin another week on the Hoosier Report. Great time of year. Basketball in full swing. Great weekend for basketball we are coming out of. IU with a terrific win at home, 68-67. A very thrilling game all the way to the final ticks on Saturday afternoon in Assembly Hall. And, of course, some big high school games over the weekend in Indianapolis at Southport, Floyd Central. Locally, they get a big win on Friday over rival New Albany at the Doghouse. And a lot of stuff to talk about as we head into Big Ten play not too far around the corner. And, of course, once we get through this weekend of high school basketball, the New Albany-Floyd Central game, the Forum Tip-Off Classic at Southport, which has kind of become a great way to track the IU recruits and targets in the state of Indiana. I mean, it just goes quick from this point. There are so many big games, both at the college and high school levels. And before you know it, it's late February. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. We're talking about sectionals across the state and across the area. So enjoy it while we can. Lots of good things out there going on right now. And something to look forward to almost every day from a basketball and a sports perspective. So make sure you keep it locked. No better time to be with us all year long than during the basketball season here on the Hoosier Report. Let's look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll recap IU Louisville. A lot of positives, and you would expect that. Anytime Indiana wins a big game, it's a game over a natural rival in exciting fashion, you would expect there to be a lot of positives. And there were coming out of Saturday's game. Indiana able to win, even though they got off to a really bad start. They were able to make up some ground, and a lot of positives, a lot of things you can take from that. Hopefully the Hoosiers can take from that moving forward. We'll do that first. We'll get into some high school stuff. We always like to recap the games over the weekend and the headlines as well. We'll hand out our hypothetical game balls to some of the big performers over the weekend and some of the high school games and more coming up here in this first segment of the program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Later in the show, I'm joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the beat writer for IU for the Star. He's going to be with us to help recap that IU-Louisville game. We'll talk about a lot of the big points from that game. And, of course, another big game for Romeo Langford. He's continued to lead consistently this IU team. And the thing about Romeo is he's had some big games for IU, but he hasn't, I don't really feel like, came uncorked. He hasn't gotten loose on anybody yet this season. I think that's coming. But he still has had some really good games for this Indiana team and was a huge, huge part of the second half and of the win for IU Saturday against Louisville. So we'll talk some about that with Zach when he's with us as well. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he is with us. He'll talk about some of the big happenings over the weekend from a primarily basketball perspective. And Chad, you know, he gets these rival games. We're coming out of New Albany. Floyd, him and I are obviously going to talk a little bit about that game. But he gets it. He was the coach at Jeff. He's went toe-to-toe with the Floyd Centrals and the New Albanys of the world and some of the, I think, the state's best rivalry games not just from talent on the court, but from fans in the stands that exist are right here in our backyard. And, of course, one of them was played out on Friday, a couple others still to come yet this season. But we'll talk about some of those big matchups and rivalries with Chad as one of our topics when he's with us coming up a little bit later in the show. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch. And, again, that's at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. IU gets off to a bad start. I mean, it was nerve-wracking there at the beginning. I think it was, what was it, 8-1, or I don't remember exactly, but not a good start. We'll leave it at that for Indiana in the game on Saturday. But IU placed three scorers in double figures. Langford Romeo had 21 points. Juwan Morgan had 15 points. He also was able to pull down five rebounds. And how about Rob Finnessy? He's played great at times. He's been a little inconsistent at other times, but he had some really big shots, some really big plays. He was a part of some really big plays as well on Saturday late in the game. Clutch three-pointer in the final minute, a couple of them actually for the Indiana team, and he did not look like a freshman. And the one thing that strikes me about Finnessy when I watch him play is that I thought in high school he'd be a good player for Indiana. I wasn't sure he'd contribute as much as he has as a freshman. I thought maybe sophomore you'd start seeing him get the opportunities to start and the kind of minutes and shots and other key situations that he's been part of would maybe happen at that point for him. But he's been able to do it as a freshman. He's been thrown to the fire. He's had a lot of opportunities, which the overwhelming thought I have about him is in 4 years in Bloomington, Robert Finnessy is going to be a tremendous Hoosier. He's going to be one of those guys that I think has the ability to end his career sort of as a legendary IU player. And I say that because of what he's shown as a freshman, what his potential will be moving forward. And I would think that he's someone that would stay all 4 years and play at Indiana, kind of like a Yogi Ferrell. Will he get to that level as far as talent on the floor? That remains to be seen. But he is a great kid, a great player. He's done some amazing things early in his career that a lot of people did not expect. And I think he will go down as a great Indiana Hoosier when it's all said and done. And he's shown a little flashes of, I think, what to expect in the future at times this season. Much more positive from Rob Finnessy so far than negative. He still has some freshman moments. Heck, even Romeo has some freshman moments at times. But definitely a player that long-term, you think about Rob Finnessy when the experience he's getting this year playing with Trace Jackson Davis and some of the other incoming recruits next year, playing with some of the guys that will also return next year. He will be a very, very key piece of this team moving into potentially post-Romeo after 1 year of college basketball for him. But a number of key players, Morgan, terrific, Langford, terrific. The crowd at Assembly Hall, also terrific. And I think that we have to give some credit to Justin Smith. There had been maybe a little criticism about what's he up to, where's he been this season. There was a lot of hype of him in the offseason, and he shone through. He did some really good things despite being inconsistent so far this season. He did some really good things in that game to help Indiana as well. And again, defense continues to be very strong for Indiana. In a win like that, you're going to be able to point to a lot of positives. Obviously, when you beat a Louisville, you beat a rival like that. But Indiana able to come back, strong defense led the way, taking care of the basketball was important down the stretch. And again, they were able to do all of that despite a very tough start with Louisville jumping to a nice little lead at Assembly Hall. But again, what a crowd for the game. Assembly Hall, when it gets rocking, when it gets going, has got to be, and I've been to a few but not all, but it's got to be one of the best college basketball environments and the toughest for opponents coming in that maybe aren't in the Big Ten, that haven't experienced that on a every other year type basis. But what a crowd, what an environment. When the crowd gets into it, they're sitting right there on top of you. A.J. Moye in the stands right behind the IU bench actually got out and led a cheer there, the under eight timeout. But a lot of exciting moments in the game on Saturday. And now Indiana will take that excitement, take the positives, and try to bottle it up and bring it back against Butler in their next game. And then, of course, after that, a couple mid-major type opponents and Big Ten Conference play will follow that at the new year, just around the corner. It's hard to believe we'll be into the full conference season coming up here in just under 3 weeks or so. Indiana will be playing nothing but Big Ten games. And as you watch this conference unfold and you see some of the big non-conference wins for teams that maybe weren't expected to be even top or middle of the Big Ten Conference this year, it makes you wonder how tough this conference will be this season and where Indiana ultimately will be able to place at when it's all said and done later in February. But some great games ahead for IU. I think this team has a lot of potential. I really do. A lot of potential for this team. Still a lot of things to improve on, as you, I'm sure most college basketball teams would say at this point. But it'll be really interesting to see where this Indiana team, if they can all play well on the same nights, all find their roles, Justin Smith, people like that become more consistent in addition to what Romeo and Juwan and some of the other players that have been more consistent for the team, they can all bring to the table where exactly they can place, where they can finish in the Big Ten. Is this an NCAA tournament team? I got to think they have the potential to do that. We'll see how things go. But a lot of fun, a lot of big games coming up, especially when we get past the Butler game. You look ahead to the Big Ten Conference. Let's talk about some high school basketball over the weekend. We always hand out our game balls from some of the big games across the area. Of course, no game bigger than New Albany and Floyd Central. Great contest the last number of times those teams have hooked up. Always very competitive, very close. Last year, the team split games. This year, Floyd Central jumps to an early start in potential, I guess, a two-game series if they meet again at Seymour. And I think a lot of people think that they will. But Floyd Central, with a terrific team, they had come into the game with some big road wins already at Lawrence North and at Castle. Kobe Barnes has been the leader. Jake Heidbreeder has kind of been his wingman. They have been a terrific duo so far. But our first game ball isn't going to go to either one of those guys. Both of them were solid. Kobe had 12 points, a lot of leadership in the game. Jake Heidbreeder, 9 points as well. But Nick Winchell, 13 points for the Highlanders. He was able to get a lot of easy baskets against New Albany, and I really felt like he was the dagger in the game for the Bulldogs. He was that third person that Todd Sturgeon spoke about that the Highlanders are looking to find a score. And the scary part about the Floyd Central team is it may not always be, the third scorer may not always be Nick Winchell. It might be someone else on the team. But in the game against Friday, against New Albany on Friday, Winchell, obviously with a big performance, a big output as well, and he definitely helped push the Highlanders to a victory at the Doghouse on Friday night. Another, you talk about great crowd at the IU-Louisville game, another great crowd. Both student sections filled all the way up almost to the top of the gymnasium, not a seat available in the house. Great to see high school basketball continuing and some of these rivalries that exist still have tremendous crowds. I know a lot of people came out to see Romeo and the talent that he brought to the floor, but there are some great players and some great rivalries exist like this game that it doesn't matter if both teams are ranked, both teams are not ranked, either team has a Division I player or not in the future. Great coaches, great people involved, and that is a game that deserves to be sold out every single year. And I think most years it has been, but I hope that it continues with Romeo moving on to college and who knows what else is next for him. But more than anything Friday night, it was just great to see the crowd into it, the crowd there, and that high school basketball continues to be very, very meaningful in our area. Now, let's say this for Floyd Central. With the lineup they've got back from last year, the number of seniors they have on the team this year, and a couple of young players that are contributing, they have a terrific chance this year to make a deep run in high school basketball as far as the 4A tournament goes. The sectional, always tough. You'll have Jeffersonville there. You'll have New Albany there. Those are rivals for the Highlanders. You'll have Bedford North Lawrence there as well. They have had some tough losses early, but I think will be a formidable team by the time the tournament gets to that point. But no question that Todd Sturgeon, again, with a very, very good ball club, and they buy into defense. That's the best thing about Floyd Central. They really play tough defense. They really play defense together. They've got length and height to go along with that, and a very good team. Will be interesting to see how many regular season games they win this year. I don't know that there's a chance they lose many, if any at all, to be quite honest. And they are going to go into the 4A sectional. I would think at this point, now I know Floyd and Jeff still have to play in the regular season, and I think that could be a good game, but I would have to say at this point, Floyd Central will easily go into the sectional as the front runner in 4A. Kobe Barnes leading the way. Jake Heidbreeder, his wingman. Those guys have got a lot of mention. They're going to continue to get a lot of mention, but I think we'll see some other players step up for this team as they become a truly complete team over the course of the season. So, but Nick Winchell, he's our game ball winner from that contest. Great performance from him, and we'll see if he can continue to be or step up to be that consistent third scorer for the Highlanders. On Saturday night, I had a chance to see Silver Creek. They won twice easily this weekend. They defeated Columbus East 73-58 on Saturday night, and leading the way for them, Trey Kaufman, 26 points. It's the first time that I had really got to see him in a high school setting. I had obviously seen him as a middle school player, seen him on the AAU circuit a couple times, but he had 26 points on 13 of 13 shooting. Now, most of his points were in the paint around the rim, but he is skilled, and he's got great hands. What a player he is, and Cooper Jacoby is right there with him. Two great sophomores in the area that are going to lead Silver Creek to great, great things. And again, the scary part about this team, the game I saw on Saturday, Jack Hawkins, a senior, he had 13 points. Zane Gross, 12 points. Ty Kessinger, 10 points. Those are guys that are all experienced that have been through tournament runs with Silver Creek up to this point. Then you add Kaufman with 26, Cooper Jacoby with 12. That's just a deadly lineup of players, five across. They've got they can shoot, they can drive, they can score in so many different ways. They can play up-tempo, they can play and slow it down a little bit on you. They've got a lot of weapons, and Silver Creek playing extremely well for this early of the season. Really interested to see how Silver Creek and Jeffersonville goes on Friday. Should be a tremendous crowd for that game, and should be a tremendous game as well. But Silver Creek, I tell you what, I think they are battling for the rights to be one of the top, if not the top team in the area. And I just bragged about Floyd Central. Now I'm bragging about Silver Creek. It's a shame those guys don't play. I'd love to see those two guys hook up, those teams hook up on the floor, and they don't, at least at this time, are not on the regular season schedule of Silver Creek in 3A, Floyd Central in 4A. No chance that they would hook up in the postseason either. But I think at this point, Floyd Central and Silver Creek, whichever way you want to list them, they are the best two teams we've got going for us right now here in the Clark and Floyd County area. Also, I want to give, in addition to Winchell and Kaufman, I want to give a game ball to Trey Coleman. He had 20 points in Jeffersonville's blowout of Seymour 89-40 on Friday night. Then he came back a little disappointed in Jeff's performance against Carmel. I thought they might challenge the Greyhounds a little more than they did. Trey Coleman still had 20 points in that game again, so 20 and 20 for Coleman despite some foul problems. He gets a game ball, but Jeff with a good win, a blowout win on Friday, and then a tough loss to a solid Carmel team who, by the way, will be at New Albany next Saturday. So another very, very tough game for New Albany on their home court coming up next Friday. Next Saturday. That one should be a lot of fun. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. They bring us our headlines each day here on the program. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Lots of IU basketball discussion. We'll recap the IU Louisville game as well. We'll talk about Romeo's performance also coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on segment two here today to talk with Zach Osterman, as we always do. Zach is the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. Of course, we're going to talk lots of IU basketball and a big IU game, big IU win, I should say, over the weekend. The Hoosiers down Louisville at Assembly Hall by 1 point. Zach, that was a crazy finish to the game. Just when you thought Indiana maybe was going to get out of there with a victory, a big win for the team, A little too close for comfort, I'm sure, for many IU fans.
Yeah, I mean, it was really back and forth. And for those who buy into the Ken Pomeroy stuff and the win graphs, you know, you look at kind of the last about 4 minutes, really, maybe even less than that, maybe like the last sort of 2 minutes or so, just sort of steadily falling toward Indiana. But it was in the balance there for a while. It was a good back-and-forth game. It was one where Indiana really struggled to kind of get things going offensively early on, and again, maybe not unlike Northwestern and Penn State a little bit, maybe even to some degree Arkansas, Indiana was able to lean on its defense and lean on being able to keep, you know, Louisville kept kind of trying to pull away, turn a 4 or 5 point game into a 9, 10, 12 point game. And Indiana just kept pulling back, couldn't hit a lot of threes or get things going in that way, but just managed to keep Louisville kind of within reach, within touching distance, and then could really kind of translate that into sort of taking control in the second half. A big game from Romeo Langford, a quietly big game, I thought, from Robert Finnessy. You know, those two guys as freshmen seem to just keep stepping up and making big plays for Indiana. And a third straight win by one possession, which I think for a young team, for a team that's had to maybe sort of delay its growth a little bit here because of injuries and so forth, you really, if you're Indiana, if you're Archie Miller, I think you feel good about seeing some of these close wins where you're executing in tight situations, you're making plays at critical moments. It bodes well, I think, for a Big Ten season that I think is going to include a lot of games that look like that.
Zach, let's talk about your thoughts on the defensive side of things for Indiana. I thought, once again, they showed some major progress in effort, and just the way the defense flowed in that contest. Big possessions where they stepped up, kept Louisville from scoring. And really, I think as we get into the Big Ten Conference schedule for the rest of the way, after early January, or when we get to early January, to win some of these Big Ten games, where everybody's good in the Big Ten. Everybody has a good player or two that's going to lead them in the Big Ten Conference. Defense will be so important, as it always is, in that conference to have success. I'm curious your thoughts on where IU's at this year right now with defense and how you thought it helped them in the game Saturday defeat Louisville.
Yeah, I think Indiana's in a really good place defensively. You know, in particular, you see improvement in defending the three-point line, I think, is a really big part of it from last season to this season. I think you see a team that has improved a little bit, well, really more than a little bit, in turning opponents over. If you're looking at, you know, opponent turnover percentage this year as opposed to last year, effective field goal numbers have improved. Indiana's putting opponents on the free throw line less often than it did a season ago. And, you know, to your point about the Big Ten, I kind of sensed a real level of trepidation, maybe, or you know, concern from some IU fans over the nature of the wins against Northwestern and Penn State. And I get that perception is what it is, in terms of some of the teams that maybe with, you know, more modest history in the Big Ten. But you look at, for example, where KenPom has Northwestern and Penn State right now, number 47, number 42. Now, those numbers will probably go down a little bit, you know, unless those two teams can really kind of rally together some in Big Ten play. But, like, you know, the lowest ranked Big Ten team, according to Ken Pomeroy right now, is Rutgers, and they're number 109. There's only two Big Ten teams, Rutgers and Illinois, outside the KenPom top 60 right now. This is a conference where there's going to be a lot of tough nights because the middle looks really crowded with teams that are, you know, that could realistically set ambitions anywhere from, you know, 8 conference wins to, you know, 13 conference wins. And it's going to be about who can win more of the close games, who can win maybe when you're having an off night shooting wise. And we've seen Indiana do that a couple times in the last, you know, week and a half, and who just gets more comfortable executing in those situations. I even go back to the Arkansas game, and look, Indiana's not going to get allowed to count that as a win. I totally understand that, but look at the course of that game, look at where Indiana was in that game from an injury standpoint, obviously from the foul standpoint, not having Juwan Morgan virtually the entire first half, making some mistakes, turning the ball over, and yet all Indiana needs is for gravity to do something a little bit different with either Rob Finney's layup or Deron Davis's tip-in, and they're 9-1 with two quality wins on the road already this season. So I think if you're an Indiana fan, it's perfectly fine to say you want to see this team turn the ball over less, you want to see a little bit more consistency offensively, you want to see them continue to get deeper as guys get healthy, you want to see them make more free throws. I think that's all perfectly fair. But I think you would also be right to be encouraged by the way that this team is executing in crunch situations and in really close games against good teams, against the kinds of teams that quietly can build you a pretty sturdy NCAA tournament resume this early in the year, when we have been talking so much about youth, about injuries, about depth, about this team not really being able to even get a sense for the best of itself yet. From where I sit, Indiana's had a really good non-conference season thus far, and if they win Saturday against Butler, you're talking about a really, really strong non-conference, I think.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, I want to talk about some individual players here for just a moment. Of course, I want to get to Romeo, but before I do that, two others I want to bring up for comments from you. First is Justin Smith. Second straight game on Saturday, he had 9 rebounds. I thought he was solid defensively for Indiana and did some pretty good things on offense as well, cutting to the basket. Definitely the Justin Smith I think that we were expecting this year. Maybe we've seen the last game or so. He had a lot of hype coming into the season. A lot of people said and thought he would be a big part of this team, and it really didn't start that way, but he sure has looked like he's coming on, getting more comfortable. Maybe his role's changed a little bit. You can maybe expand on that some, but definitely think it's worth talking about some of the positives that he brought to that win on Saturday.
Yeah, 9 points, 9 rebounds, some key buckets. I think baskets at key times is a big part of it. And then also, frankly, the rebounds. Indiana was always kind of going to be fighting an uphill battle from a rebounding perspective just because Louisville's got such length and athleticism and knows what it's doing around the rim. When you have a guy that can just kind of hold his own like that and maybe give you a little bit more reliability on the boards, that frees up a Romeo Langford, to not have to expend so much energy and focus on the glass and transfer some of his energy to other parts of his performance. I think that's important. That was Justin Smith's second straight game with 9 rebounds as well. He had 8 points in the Northwestern win. And you're right. In one respect, I think we all kind of thought Justin Smith would wind up being a little bit more of a breakout player this season than he's been. I think he's had some very uneven performances. I'm not doubting that, or I'm not disputing that. It's probably worth pointing out, kind of in reply, he has scored in double figures, and he scored in double figures in 4 of Indiana's first 6. He hasn't hit 10 points or more in Indiana's last 4. But if Indiana can just kind of steadily grow his impact and use, in particular, I think these rebounding numbers personally, plus probably some understated defense. He's also drawn some tough defensive assignments where if you look at him in isolation, you can say, oh, geez, Justin Smith really struggled there. But you realize it's because he's defending somebody's best player. He's spending a lot of time on one of the brothers from Marquette, or he's spending a lot of time on Jordan and Wara. And it's like, well, players like that are going to get their points. I think back to the way that Victor Oladipo and Yogi Ferrell used to guard Trey Burke. Trey Burke was going to get his points for Michigan, but if you could make him inefficient, if you could tire him out, if you could make it so, by the time it got to the end of the game, all of a sudden he was shooting with much heavier legs because you'd worn him down. That's good defense. That's good defense in modern college basketball. And I think he's drawn some tough defensive assignments that maybe he's done a little bit better with than he's gotten some credit for. If you can just continue to expand that impact while you've got, again, a roster that's getting deep again, and then you're still going to be able to count on Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan just about every night, I think that you have the room to kind of let Justin Smith really carve out his role, and maybe once you get into January, February, you hope that there's a little more consistency there.
Yeah, no question. Zach Osterman, good stuff here on IU coming out of the Louisville victory over the weekend. The next player before we get to Romeo I want to talk about is Rob Finney. And I've said this a couple times. I said this earlier today on the show. And I don't know. I've never asked Rob this. I don't know that anyone has. I don't know what his plans are. I'm assuming he will be a player at Indiana basketball for 4 years. I'm sure, like every player, he has NBA and professional thoughts about what he'd like to do in the future. But with what he's done as a freshman, and it surprised me, and I saw Rob play a lot as a high school player and thought that he was a great get for Archie Miller. I thought he would get some time as a freshman. I never dreamed that he would get the opportunities that he's received so far this season as a freshman. And I saw a quote as well leading into our conversation here about Rob that Jawan Morgan referred to him as a veteran now. I mean, you've got to look at some of these freshmen like Romeo and Rob as veterans after all the minutes that they're logging. And there's probably some truth to that, but at the end of the day, both guys are going to have freshman moments. It's just part of it, especially you get into some of these Big Ten Conference games. But that said, Rob Phinisee, with what he's done so far as an Indiana Hoosier and what potentially he could do and help lead and be that consistent guy that maybe even after Romeo's gone and Trace Jackson Davis and the next class arrives to help those guys get ready, and as IU possibly finds success and builds this thing up, a lot of in-state players in the foundation of that, if Rob stays at Indiana 4 years and continues to build on the career that individually he started and sees Indiana turn some corners in his time there, he could go down as a legendary guy, a legendary IU player. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to certainly disagree with the impact he's having so far this season. I mean, you look, for example, just at these last two games, Louisville and Penn State, combined 22 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Now all the 5 assists were against Penn State. He didn't have any against Louisville. But he made some really big shots in both of those games. Late against Penn State, he had those 2 second-half threes against Louisville. Look, this is hard to quantify, but you really get the sense, especially even from talking to people who know him from his Lafayette days and his high school career, that he's just kind of one of those kids that is never fazed by big expectations, by big responsibilities, that that sort of thing just doesn't bother him. And it certainly doesn't seem like it has this season. I mean, you look at the amount of minutes he's playing. He's played 26 or more minutes, I think, I want to say 7 of Indiana's 10 games, and at least one or two of those others, he was sidelined with foul trouble. So it wasn't like he wasn't playing because he was struggling. He wasn't playing because just he was in some problem with fouls. His assist rate is higher on average against KenPom Tier A opponents, so top 50 opponents, and his turnover rate is lower against Tier A opponents than it is overall yet this season. And the big thing is, and I can remember, I think we talked about this, I can remember talking about this with some national guys, when you talked about the expectation for this season, as much as you wanted to talk about a Romeo Langford or a Jawan Morgan or a Justin Smith, you did feel like Indiana just had this nagging question at point guard. And you sort of said, you know, look, all they need is just somebody who's tough and can make plays for others. They don't need somebody to come in and average 14 points a game as well as, you know, 4 assists a game or whatever. They've got the points and the offensive production everywhere else. They just need some guys to come in and be steady and distribute the ball well, run the offense well, defend reliably. And I think you've gotten that, in fairness, from Al Durham as well. I think he probably also merits a mention kind of in this conversation, as Indiana's kind of just now maybe starting to get the best of Devontae Green back because he missed so much of the first month of the season. But Phinisee's a guy that a lot of people around the state said when he was in high school, you know, his ranking belies how tough he is, how reliable he is, how you know, sort of technically sound he is. And he may be a guy that you really would be surprised how quickly he's going to find his feet in college. And I think that part of it is, again, that we all probably thought Devontae Green would be play a bigger role that he hasn't been able to fill because of the injuries. But, you know, Rob Phinisee is a guy, I'm with you, that I think could wind up having a really, really good Indiana career if he does turn out to be a guy that plays, you know, 3-4 seasons in Bloomington.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Romeo Langford, let's close with that as far as talking about the Louisville game. Once again, he leads Indiana, made some big plays. Just another performance from a guy that is a freshman that is stepping up and consistently leading Indiana. And I guess, you know, as good of a season as some think he's had, and as big of games in certain games as what he's had, some have been better than others, obviously. I still don't know that Romeo has gotten loose or gotten uncorked or has went crazy on anyone like I think he will do at some point this season. He had a couple in that Penn State game, a couple back-to-back plays where he scored and kind of showcased his different abilities to step back or to take the ball to the basket, even against good pressure. But he's really doing some good things on a consistent basis for this Indiana team to help so far.
I'm with you. I think it's come in spurts. I think he had some moments like that in the first half against Louisville when Indiana really kind of didn't have anything else going. I think he had some moments like that, obviously, late in the Northwestern game when Juwan Morgan goes out with an injury. I think he had some moments like that in both halves against Marquette. And I think maybe part of what maybe you're encouraged about if you're Indiana is what Romeo Langford, that it seems like he knows he's able to turn it on and to really go to another gear when it's clear that his team needs him to, either because it's sort of struggling to keep its head above water and it needs somebody to just sort of see it through a rough patch, or you think about a Marquette, for example. There were moments in that game where it felt like Romeo Langford understood that if Indiana really put its foot down on the pedal, it could just sort of accelerate away. And you saw him be kind of the catalyst for that sort of success, for that sort of drive. I'm with you. I think that there's a lot more to come from Romeo Langford. And look, that's the easiest thing in the world to say for a guy who scored 3,000 points a game, 3,000 points in his high school career, and obviously was as you know, sort of vested and credentialed as he was coming out of high school. It's still, you know, funny sometimes to kind of say that out loud for a guy who I think is averaging more than 18 points a game, is one of the top scorers in the Big Ten, and isn't necessarily, he's not the most efficient player in the world, but it's also not like he's taking 25 shots a game just to get his 18 points a game. You know, he's doing it within the flow of the offense. He's doing it in ways that really help his team and kind of set the table for different things Indiana needs. He's rebounding the ball really well, which is, you know, one of those old Tom Crean things that always stuck with me. Was Tom Crean would talk about the importance of guard rebounding. If a guard pulls down that rebound, the break starts right away. A big man pulls down the rebound, he's got to look around sometimes to find a better ball handler who can get Indiana going on the break. When Romeo Langford pulls a rebound in, the break is on. And I think that's really helped Indiana get better in transition this year. And so, again, as much as it feels like Indiana's kind of been almost stunted in some ways in terms of its overall team growth here early in the season, and maybe we're going to see a better Indiana, or the chance we're going to see a better Indiana in February and March than we're seeing in November and December, I think Romeo Langford, as good as he's been, could very well be, you know, sort of in a similar mold, that we could see an even better Romeo Langford in February or in March than the one that we're seeing right now, that scores 21 points on Saturday, that over the Penn State, Louisville, and Northwestern game scores 58 points, that scores, you know, 22 points in the loss at Arkansas, 22 points in the win against Marquette. He's having these big performances, and yet you're right, I think there's even more to come from him.
Great stuff, as usual, from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's with us Mondays. We talk IU basketball, recap happenings over the weekend. And, Zach, great to talk with you again this week. We'll do it again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back and go back to flip the switch, go back to some local coverage, some local talk about some of the big high school basketball games over the weekend. None bigger than Floyd Central's victory over New Albany. We'll talk about that with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the big performances so far in this high school basketball season, and other basketball topics as well with Chad, as we do each week. Stay with us for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, also an IHSAA executive board member representing Far Southern Indiana, with us on Mondays to talk local sports headlines. Chad, it's hard to not talk basketball with you. You've been there. You've done that. You've coached in some of the big rivalry games. And we just had our first big weekend of high school basketball. And Floyd Central and Silver Creek, they both have made some moves early in this season to let us know or to showcase that they very well may be the best two high school basketball teams in the area for this 18-19 season.
Matt, excuse the voice here. I'm coming off injury here. Bad cold going around the Gilbert house. So I'm struggling. I'm digging down deep today, Matt, and trying to bring out the very best. But like you said, Floyd Central has answered the bell every time. You know, coming up this weekend, they got big test at Bloomington South, and it looked like Lil's trying to catch his stride a little bit at Bloomington South. I saw he had 38 this weekend, so that'll be another test for the Highlanders. But it really looks like they've set themselves apart from people with that big win against New Albany. You know, it looked like a great crowd there, and that's not only a rivalry game, but that's a big, big game in the Hoosier Hills Conference. And for them to get hold of that one, it's something that kind of puts them in a great position to win. You know, you still got Jeffersonville, you still got Bedford waiting in the wings, but you can keep in mind that Jim Shannon and the Bulldogs will have this game in the back of their mind come March into sectional. As far as Silver Creek goes, Matt, you mentioned them earlier. They picked up a big conference win at North Harrison, and to tie that in kind of with the Floyd Central thing, oddly enough, Silver Creek and Floyd Central do not play each other. Silver Creek has every team on the Hoosier Hills Conference on their schedule, except for Floyd Central. And I know everyone would love to see that game. But, you know, they've got a big Hoosier Hills weekend this weekend. You know, Silver Creek's in the Mid-Southern Conference. They had a big weekend with Jeffersonville and Bedford coming up. And they're going to be battle-tested come March. So lots of great teams. And there's some separation. You know, like my Pirates got a big win at Clarksville. So there's some people stepping up a little bit and separating themselves as the year goes on here.
Chad, I want to talk about these rivalries, and we had fun talking about it last week, kind of thinking about what might happen and talking about some of the big players involved. But you've been through them from a coaching perspective. You were at Jeffersonville, the boys last, before you left to take the administrative job at Charlestown. You've been part of some of those big crowds and some of these big showcase-type games for the area where you've got fans not only of the two schools that are playing, but maybe just general fans of high school basketball or the game in the area. And I know there are rivalries in every part of the state, and every school has a chief rival or two out of their schedule that probably you look forward to that date, that game, that victory might mean a little bit more than others for coaches or fans or whoever it may be. But I find it hard to believe, and I've been around our state a lot. I've been around basketball for a long time. I find it harder to believe that you can find a better crowd, a better all-around environment for New Albany, Floyd Central, and New Albany, Jeffersonville. To me, those are two of the best that I have seen, and our area plays host to both of those.
Oh, that brings people out of the woodwork just to see those games. It's an athletic director's dream, because you know you're getting a big gate. Donnie Unruh is smiling big today. He's sending your freshman over here today. He's so excited. He's sending New Albany's freshman to Charlestown. He's so excited about that last week. But, you know, like you said, Matt, it's great for everybody involved. It's something that kids are going to remember for their whole life. You know, and the people that come back are people that have been involved in those games. It's a big deal. You know, we've seen those things. We've been involved with it. And when you walk in that gym, you get goosebumps on your arms. But from a coach and from a player standpoint, you're just wanting to be even kill. There's going to be highs in those games. There's going to be lows. The people who win are the ones who stay the same, stay on course throughout the whole game. And that's what these coaches tell their kids. And it's kind of like a life lesson. In life, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. If you want to stay about the same, you're going to be okay. So I think coaches call on that, and I think they try to treat the game just like another game after you get past that big hype.
Talking with Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Big one over the weekend. We spent a lot of time talking about it with Zach in the last segment. Indiana gets a win. Romeo Langford once again plays really well. It's amazing to me, and we kind of talked about this some on the program last week, but went to the game Saturday. A lot of people there that I thought were Louisville fans, but they're at a Louisville game on the road wearing IU stuff. It's amazing that Romeo factor and what he's had on even the college level here locally. A lot more IU fans willing to showcase their gear, or maybe some new IU fans joining the ranks, which I'm sure is a great thing for merchandise and for sales and just for general interest. But he's really he's helped that end of things as well. I think sometimes we forget that.
Oh, Matt, we talked about early in the year that when you have Indiana players playing at an Indiana school, it makes it so much more exciting. You know, I haven't watched a whole lot of IU basketball in the last couple of years. I haven't missed a game this year. And it's like you said, the people there that you know are Louisville fans, but they're Romeo fans more. You know, it just shows the impact the kid with the attitude, you know, the way Romeo puts himself out there can make a difference on people. You know, so people are Romeo Langford fans, and Romeo is not disappointing. You know, you look at his numbers as a freshman, my goodness, he's off the chart on things. And the one number you look at is look at their wins and losses. Those are all on Romeo. Romeo's out there, he's rebounding the basketball, he's passing the basketball, he's defending. He's doing everything it takes to win. So I know that the Louisville fans can't be more proud of Romeo, and I know Southern Indiana fans aren't more proud of Romeo because he's doing an excellent job at IU. And IU, you know, once they get everybody back and back in game speed, they're going to be a formidable opponent for anyone in the Big Ten, Matt, which is really the Big Ten's conference in general is making a statement as being one of the toughest conferences in the nation.
No question about it. Big start to the Big Ten conference so far this year. Chad, we're in that great time of year. I said this at the start of the show. I kind of look at this past weekend as the official start of high school basketball. It's where you kind of get into some really good matchups locally, and there was the big statewide showcase in Southport. A lot of good games there. Always a lot of IU players at that event. Of course, Trace Jackson Davis showcased against Keon Brooks. They played in front of Archie Miller at Southport on Saturday night. He was able to make the game in time after the Louisville win. But in college games, you're in that part of the year where conference stuff's just around the corner. There's some good matchups over the holiday time upcoming. Just something to look forward to from a basketball perspective about every day.
Oh, no question about it, man. You know, in the high school game, we're about five games in with some very good games. You know, this Silver Creek and Jeffersonville game Friday is going to be a battle. You know, Brandon's got those guys playing over there. And Jeffersonville turns around and plays at Southwestern with Jerry Baumholt, who's one of the best coaches ever to coach in Indiana. So it's going to be contrasting styles of play to get up and down. It's going to be really an exciting test for the Devils on that one. You know, I looked at New Albany's schedule. They've got Carmel at home, who handled Jeff pretty good this weekend at Southport. Then they turn around and have Pike waiting in the wings, who beat Center Grove by 40. So, you know, our teams down here in Southern Indiana are playing, taking on all comers. And I think it's like you said, you're going to see some separation. You're going to see who's the best, and you want to see teams play their very best this time of year.
Chad, before we let you go, we got about 10 seconds left. Who was Bob McEwen cheering for in the game Saturday, IU or Louisville?
Bob McEwen was cheering for the buffet because he did not get away from the buffet.
Good answer. Chad Gilbert with us. Chad, I'll see you tonight. Thanks, as always, for coming on. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. We're back on Tuesday. Big week. Lots of IU talk, lots of guests. We'll get you all ready for everything coming up later this week right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.